Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 370, the box office report for the week ending April 8th.
We have to be on our best behavior this week.
Why is that?
Dan's back.
Oh, damn it.
I heard about the last episode. I gotta come in.
Man, I got a Word document over here to the side. I actually had to export it to Excel because it's just nothing but
big.
Fisting jokes. Yeah.
No, that's so, triple Excel.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Touche. I don't like to brag. So
close it. Close it.
It's not going to fly today.
Real spoilers up. In the morning, yeah. Now I can't do it.
So
in the morning still sounds kind of dirty.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So I will post all those fisting jokes on our League of Show Sharers page.
Dan won't let me.
Yeah. Damn it! I forgot we made it.
We all have access.
Why did we make him an admin?
You know, it's funny how you hear from the couple people that love it when we start a show like this. You don't hear from the people that unsubscribe.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Yeah. Just the numbers slowly drop.
Yeah. Nobody says, dear sir, I am unsubscribing.
Yep.
And the people that do aren't.
Yeah. There is one time I actually did subscribe long enough to tell them that I only subscribe so I can tell you that I am unsubscribing.
I just did that.
Just so you know.
Two other podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't mention what they are, but it's just like.
The clip out. You can say it.
I had to subscribe to the clip out to unsubscribe. They were just like. So I piggybacked off of other podcasts. So like I heard a Jonestown episode and I was just like, you know what? I want to hear some more. And I downloaded like two other episodes from different shows. And I was like, oh God, these are so bad. They're so like the episodes I listened to were informative and funny as talking about Jonestown can be.
Sure.
But you know, like they were having this was just like reading from a book.
Yeah.
I mean,
the thing is, the great thing about podcasting is that anybody could do it, right?
Right.
The gate's wide open. Anyone can do it.
And
the bad thing, when you listen to a podcast where no one is, I mean, it's like a Bruce Willis, you know, his, you know, persona in a podcast.
You ain't
kidding. People are just like, hey, guys. So I did this. I mean, and there are podcasts for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's just, so we're going to go check out and it's just, you know, and it's not their fault. I mean, it's cool they're doing it, but the difference between one where you find like the great, you know, the Earwolf podcast
right.
and, you know, the other ones we've talked about where they're so upbeat and entertaining, and then you come to one where they're snoozing and they may be talking about interesting facts and all that, but to listen to that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found one, it was like things you should have learned in history class, and I was like, oh, wow, this sounds
interesting.
Like, yeah, that's the kind of thing I like, and so I was listening to it, and like I swear to God, it was like these two like elderly women just reading Wikipedia. And I was just like, what are we doing? And why
like
does this appear to be popular?
I'm back in school.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible.
Oh, this is brutal. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We have a full house. How about that?
We're back.
So
you have that to, I was going to say look forward to, but it's happening right now. Yeah. You're not looking forward to it at all. It's in the present tense, and you're probably also not looking forward to it. Huh. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes, so if you like what you hear, and maybe your friends would too. That's the way demographics and target marketing work.
I thought you were going to say Democrats.
No.
That's the way Democrats work.
Well, like, I mean, well, that does involve target marketing.
That's true.
As do Republicans.
We do live in a democracy. So. Yeah.
Do we?
Well, I think technically.
No, you can't say that now, or some smug asshole on the internet's going to be like, technically it's a republic.
Like, well, yeah, we saw how well the republic worked.
It's a democratic republic, yeah, right. So it's still a democracy. So. Suck it.
Yeah. Take that, Wiseacre.
Share the show with somebody. That's how about that? Mm-hmm. So you can also go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already done it. And if you have done it, you can unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
And just don't leave us a bad review. Yeah. If you unsubscribe or subscribe, but leave us a good review, yeah, and then you can unsubscribe, which is fine.
But if you unsubscribe and then resubscribe, do it all in one fell swoop.
Correct.
Don't unsubscribe and then think you're going to come back a week later because you'll forget. So
yeah, it's like when
so
you're
you
like,
know what? Let's just forget I said all any of this.
Yeah. Like when you see a text, you're like, oh, I'll get back to that.
Yeah.
And I never do.
Yeah. Right.
Whoops.
Well, that's why I have like 17,000 emails.
Yeah, right, right.
17,000? Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I never delete my, right. I never empty my
emails?
Deleted box, you know?
Oh, man.
And so, because I can't tell you how many times at work that saved my butt.
Oh, really?
And
quick search, we're like, oh.
Yeah, I did say that. Don't play the game with me. And I mean, I've done it where like, because I've worked there for like 12 years,
right,
you know? And the IS department, because we got a new email
services. Oh.
And they're like, do you know you have like 300,000?
That's it?
Emails in your... I was like...
This month?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to stop. Like, that's
no.
The new system's just going to start pruning that. I'm like, ah, damn it.
I know, as someone who works in IT and has transferred a lot of mail servers, that's a pain in the ass to transfer someone's box that has 300,000, because you have to download it all and whatever, consolidate it to a file. Then you have to upload it. And as we all know, upload speeds are not exactly what downloads are. So when you're uploading, like literally, I bet that was like 50 gigabytes or whatever. You have all PDF attachments. Uploading that takes a long time, and then they have to sync it back down to all their devices.
Oh, they get, man. They get paid by the hour.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Wait, there's a little tier.
Yeah.
I know.
Job security. No,
I'm just saying.
You just got paid 15 hours in overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, they're government bureaucrats. Yeah. I mean, so am I, but just some slightly cooler version. So, also, don't forget, you can share the show with your friends. Join the League of Show Sharers. People who are kind enough to share the show this week, Ralph Tribble, Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell, Griffin Fox-Smith, Tom Comiskey, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Jason Weesey, Troy Anspaw, Dylan A. Lang, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Chris James, Lane Levanway, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Ming Bian, I hope I'm saying that right.
Is that new?
I feel like I've seen the name before.
So.
I don't
That's
think it's
you
new.
Pronounced it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Never mind.
Yeah. Timmy Two Zunes, Timmy Two Zunes, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Breaking Politico, Julianne Jordan, and Richard Lawson. So thank you very much for sharing the show every week. We greatly appreciate it.
You guys are cool.
Yes.
Is Richard Lawson related to Richard Dawson?
I would.
Is that how that works?
That's how that works.
Completely different names.
completely different, but.
This is
but
why
he's a fan of the Running Man. So yeah.
This is why you never let Dr. Seuss do your genealogy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it gets screwed up.
It's very convoluted.
With Boston and Mawson.
Yeah. And it's like one side of your family tree has stars on theirs. Yeah. The other side doesn't. Gets very spun around.
Super confusing.
Yes. So anyway, there are all of your shameless plugs. I guess we can now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. Coming in at number one, it is the movie of the week, which, you know, that hasn't happened that often this year. We've had like Black Panther for 7 weeks as number one.
Ready Player One was number one.
I mean, Ready Player One was the outlier, but, you know, so we're getting back into the number one movies being new. So A Quiet Place made $45 million.
Wow.
That is huge.
They
I
have
never,
to be
never,
ecstatic.
Who would have ever, and not, I mean, it looked good. I'm not saying anything, but what, $45
can
million.
Can you look up when Get Out was released? Like what time
sure
of the
year?
I think
it
was late February.
It was February. It was, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I was thinking it was late February.
Because we're like, are people going to remember this at Oscar time?
And guess what? They will.
It was awesome. Yeah. I cannot believe for a movie like that, you know, a horror movie, Jordan Peele's first film to last from,
it's a thriller.
Get Out? But
yeah. You would call it a horror film?
No, and same for Quiet Place. I wouldn't call either one a horror film.
I wouldn't either.
Right. But, I mean, for that genre and to hang on, you know.
I agree.
You know, his first directorial effort, and it lasted all the way until a year later at the Oscars. That's awesome.
Didn't win enough.
No.
I agree.
It didn't, but I'm glad it won.
And the horror film thing, it's kind of funny because it's like there are people, like my wife, she watched a little bit of it, and then she gets tired. So, and I'm like, but I have to tell people, I'm like, it's not what you think it is. Because people are like, oh, I don't like horror films. I'm like,
it's not.
It's not what you think it
is.
It's like, you know, because it starts out and you do think, oh, God, what have I gotten into? And then it's like, oh, nope, not that at all.
And this one does not, we'll get into it, but it does not, there's no bait and switch.
No.
Like, you know what you're getting into from Jump Street.
Right.
And, but it's like this guy, I think, so this is Krasinski's third movie?
Directorial,
but he
feature.
Wrote it. I didn't realize he wrote it either. And I was just like,
the story was there was a story, and
okay.
a script, and then I think he jumped in. This was going to be a Cloverfield movie. It was in the. What?
Looking at the creatures, I can absolutely see that.
It was being bandied about.
Okay,
I was like, is this going to be a Stranger Things movie?
sure, but I mean, like, given what we know after that last Cloverfield, why couldn't it have been
there?
I'm glad it's not.
I'm glad it's,
I'm glad it's not. Like, there's no reason to tie it in, but now that we're just like, no, it's dimensions and other worlds and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it wasn't. And it deserves every single dollar.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into it.
That's all I'll say.
Next episode. But
also, I'm just saying, Disney should pay me because I'm the one that said Krasinski is Reed Richards.
Oh.
I said it first.
Okay.
I'm just putting it
is that
out there.
Happening, or you're just saying if that happens?
I think somebody asked him. They're like, "How would you feel about that?" And he was like, "Yeah, I tried to be one of them, and then they got Chris Evans. Yeah. So you know, sign me up.
Yeah,
I think he'd be great.
He's proven himself now that he could have been Captain America. Like,
absolutely.
I would have bought that 100% based on 13 hours.
I don't know if I would have bought him as Captain America in 2000. What was that 12?
Yeah,
what I mean. Like
not then. You needed some distance from the office.
Yeah, you need some distance from the office. And I think the office was only off the air. Was it off the air in 2012?
I
don't think it was.
It's real.
It's close.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
2012.
When did the Avengers come out?
He was just, wouldn't he have been?
Well, he would have been in
it much earlier than 2012.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because, I mean, that was only six years ago. That
so
wasn't
when
Captain
was,
America.
When was the first Captain America? So
the office ended in 2013.
So he was still
been in the
Jim
middle
Halpert.
Of the office,
and I think he could not have been Captain America at that point.
Jim would have left a lot earlier if he were Captain America.
Although, you know, to counteract that statement, I mean, Chris Pratt did it.
Yeah.
Was he
true?
Was he Star-Lord while Parks and Rec was going on?
Yeah. I think think the last two seasons, because he comes back. Kind of like they had to start putting him in really baggy clothes because he came back so ripped.
It's true, it's
because he starts
true.
The show like
they make a joke about it. Remember when he comes back the next season?
Yeah.
He's like, I haven't been on a diet
he's
or whatever.
Super pudgy,
yeah,
that's true. But the Star-Lord character isn't.
I mean, he's
Andy,
goofy, so it's
like just
it's
turned a little bit.
Yeah,
Captain America.
I just feel
not so
like,
much.
But I mean, these are actors, and if he was a really good Captain America, I just feel
I
like
agree.
You would just forget that he's Jim, and he wouldn't be Jim very long,
right.
And then, you know, he'd be doing all these big action movies. You know, his career trajectory would have just been completely different.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I would also say to argue against the point I just made, I think Jim is a more iconic character than Andy on Parks and Rec.
I completely agree.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still.
I think
people are still going to be saying Jim from The Office.
I think if
about
he doesn't
movie.
Have Dwight, he doesn't. He is not as iconic. But because he has Dwight,
sure. they need that interplay and Pam
and Pam, of course,
because you know people fell in love with
Jim
falling in love.
Well, she's coming to town this month.
She lives.
She's got
here.
A book.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. but she's doing a book signing at I think it's Left Bank Books, who usually
does
that.
Sure. Yeah.
So and it would make sense that she would come to town and support like the local indie bookstore.
Yeah.
I bought her book. It's actually really good.
Is it really?
Oh, is it?
Is it a memoir?
No, it's about like how to break into acting professionally.
Cool.
Like it kind of tells her story of things she did, and she's like, "Oh, that was dumb," and how, you know, just how to work as a professional actor.
I gotcha.
That's awesome.
This is what I said for my Fantastic Four pitch. They're just like, "Well, how do they get them in there now? They've have all these years worth of movies." And I was like, "You set the movie in 1964. You introduce all your characters. You do everything. The end of that movie is them getting hit with the cosmic rays and disappearing." And then
Space Rift.
Bingo. And they're gone.
Huh. And then they come back all of a sudden.
Avengers 4 or 5, bam. Interesting. They're back.
Would they be the
same
age?
Although I think
you
may have just...
Yeah,
because they just wouldn't age.
Yeah, they just like, spoiled the plot for Captain Marvel.
Maybe I did.
Because we know that's like, in the 90s. I'm like...
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you could have all four of them. You can keep them the same age. Reed can have his little gray hair on the sides. It's fine. But yeah, I think that was a Fantastic Four movie in the 60s to your Superman movie in the 40s.
That's what Peyton Reed wanted to do, and I wish they would have.
Perfect. For what?
He wanted to do Fantastic Four in the 60s. He even did
Really? He did Ant-Man, though, didn't he?
Yes, but way back. He's the one that did that Ewan McGregor, Renee Zellweger movie. Do you guys remember that? The, like a throwback to those Doris Day Rock.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And at that time, they were talking about him doing Fantastic Four as a period piece. I'm like, please, because this guy knows that era well. And how fantastic would that be?
And they got the guy from Barbershop.
So
that happened.
Well, yeah, those 90s Fantastic Four.
Oh
movies.
Man, they're so bad, so nice. Bad.
But anyway, A Quiet Place had a $17 million budget, so opening to 45.
That's not a Blumhouse flick, right?
No, it's over 10, all so right. I don't think it can be 10. Legally.
It's a cool spot, though, right? So we're like maybe if I can get one amazing horror flick a year in this spot where like it's not they don't jack up the budget, they just do a solid horror/thriller movie a year.
Yeah, this isn't a horror movie.
It's pretty horror/thriller.
I mean, you've got things like You're Next, Don't Breathe.
Yeah,
It Follows. Yeah. Like we're getting
it's a Halloween.
Those movies that are kind of horror, but it depends how you look at them.
It's The Conjuring. It's the Conjuring effect. Like that movie, I think re-energized or allowed Hollywood people to be like, oh yeah, remember those movies from like the 70s that were really good that didn't have a lot of gore?
Right.
Like, yeah. Well, just do those.
I will say I think they were very smart because this is a PG-13 movie and it made $45 million.
Yep.
And did not need to be R for what it's doing.
And it didn't need to. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like it works great as a PG-13 movie. I never felt like they were holding back.
Exactly. No. So 45 on a 17. Good for them. And we'll get into that next episode. But coming in at number two is the movie from last week. Ready Player One made $22.4 million, a 46% drop. It is up to $94 million domestic, and overseas it has another $170. Jeez. So, yeah, we're talking about approaching $270 on still an undisclosed budget, but I'm guessing it's in the $200.
Easily, $250.
Range.
I read somewhere that they're estimating that it needs to make $420.
Break even. It probably had $210, double it about, or $170. Yeah, that makes sense.
So a Krasinski horror thriller movie just beat a Steven Spielberg special effect still.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't compare like that.
I don't know. I figure. I think a Spielberg sci-fi on paper,
week two of Ready Player One should have beaten
everything.
A Quiet Place.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And why do I always want to call it A Very Quiet Place?
I keep calling it A Quiet...
You keep calling it The Quiet Ones.
The Quiet Ones, which is a different horror flick altogether.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it's making money. That overseas money is really going to help save it. And that's what they're making these movies for, though. I mean, the big budget special effects with all the homages. I mean, they eat that up overseas. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that one does in the continuing
weeks. It's probably easier to translate.
Yeah.
What we say, 80% of it's animated.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you're just changing the voices.
Or it's easier
The hard part was that in China, they had to switch it all to the cheap knockoff versions of these characters. So it's like instead of Iron Giant, it's like T 10 Big Man.
what's the one with Spider-Man, but he has guns or something?
Spider-Man.
Like the Power Rangers version of Spider-Man?
But like you see it online, all the time he has guns or something. Yeah, it's just like so ridiculous.
I don't know how they ever got away with that.
Or the Batman or whatever that comes in a Spider-Man box.
In China, no one's going to enforce our copyright laws. Like that's always been a problem with China.
It was a Power Ranger. You're talking about the toys.
The toys you see online.
Because there was a car.
No,
was a
I
show.
Know the crazy show with Spider-Man that was just blowing up. And it's just
it was
like,
a Power Ranger show with a guy dressed up as Spider-Man.
And I think he has guns and stuff.
Funny when you find that. Like, is there like a Russian Star Wars? Oh, it's all weird.
There's like a
Turkish Star Wars.
Pakistani
that's
Superman.
What it is. Yeah, I one time found it was Spanish or Portuguese shot for shot remake of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It was crazy.
With the Spanish version of Abbott and Costello?
Yes.
Sign me up.
It was like the Spanish crazy. Dracula. You ever seen that?
No.
With Bela Lugosi?
No.
Yeah. They did the Spanish. I mean, it's actually on the Blu-ray.
Well, I have
There's
the
a Spanish, a Spanish Dracula, and they basically reshot the movie.
They would film it, and then they would just film it again. And isn't there another horror movie that like from that era that they like would go in when they were done filming with another cast and refilm it for another language?
My God, that sounds amazing.
And he
speak Spanish?
I feel like, I know what you're talking about. Something, I think it was Karloff or something. I think there was one of those big old classic
Is it in the Universal box set or the single?
It might be even on the single.
I have that. I have that Universal Blu-ray set.
It's pretty fascinating because it's they're like, hey, we knocked this one out pretty quick. You guys want to just do it again?
Is there one with a score and one without a score?
Hmm.
Are you talking about the big heist at the end of Dracula?
Van Helsing figures it out. We play back. He's been tricking everybody the whole
time. A game
of cat and mouse. Figured it out.
Thumbs up, baby.
Oh, boy. Well, before we get into any of those references.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
You know what you started? Yeah. Number three.
Dan has maracas. I'm going to need like castanets.
Please.
So I think it's just called blockers, isn't it?
Number three, rooster emoji blockers. I don't know. It just looks like they made the emoji part of the title.
I have a feeling this was the Zach and Mary Make a Porno title. Something tells me it was called cock blockers at one point, and they're just we can't do
that. We've been down this road.
Because, when it was announced, I mean, it always had that emoji in the thing, so it's like, But it made $21 million from that John Cena.
It's not a John Cena. It's
epic.
I don't think he's the main character.
I heard Leslie Mann steals the show. That's what I'm...
Did you see it? Yeah, he's in almost every
season. All three of them are in it equally. Yeah. But I heard...
You mean not Mark Wahlberg?
Exactly. Ike Barinholtz. I learned this weekend that he has a name.
But he doesn't act
Mark
Wahlberg.
He looks like
the poor man's Mark Wahlberg.
Well,
he looks
like the Wahlberg in big print and then first name in tiny print.
Yeah.
Like one of those.
There are a lot of shots where you see his face. I've thought since he hit the scene, and I've liked a lot of the comedies. He's been in
very funny.
But whenever I first saw him, I was like, wait, Mark Wahlberg's in this movie? And then
that connect. I guess because I watched The Mindy Project, and he's like a regular on The Mindy Project.
Yeah.
So
even
I'm
before
always
Mindy
like,
Project,
oh, it's the guy
how was
Project.
It?
The Blockers?
Yeah.
It was good for what it was.
Really?
It was solid.
It looked so bad.
It doesn't look... I don't think it looks bad. I think it looks like... So this is what I think.
Cena looks so bad.
I don't care. Whatever. I think we have aged out of this comedy. Not out of this comedy, but... Like, this feels like Superbad.
Oh, it's totally Superbad.
Yeah.
It's Superbad with 40-year-olds.
And girls.
Yeah. Well, because the girls don't really, the girls honestly don't play that large a role in the movie.
Oh.
It's them trying to find the girls. So the girls pop up. I don't mean it like that, but it's not the girls.
It's the parents' movie.
It's really, it's kind of Superbad. Like, oh, you enjoyed Superbad, but now you have children. Here it is again for you with an adult protagonist.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. So what I was wondering is if Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore came out today at our ages, would we enjoy them?
No.
Were those liked them?
I don't enjoy them now.
Were those decent?
I think
only liked one when they came out.
I liked Happy Gilmore, yeah. I enjoyed thoroughly.
Well, that's 50%. I'm just saying, wedding, like, were those movies terrible and we thought they were funny because we were 10?
Yes.
Or
yes, they were terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. They but were. I mean, when they came
they
out, it was
kind
of like, ooh.
Okay. But honestly, like, when Caddyshack came out, critics hated it. That did not
absolutely.
Get good reviews. But it was funny, and it clicked for people, and it was just this dumb kind of funny that hit the zeitgeist in a much lesser way.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison did the same thing. And I like Happy Gilmore.
I still hold
I
those.
Like about half of Billy Madison.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's half of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still very nostalgic where I go, because the thing is that I think we're like, oh, what happened to Sandler? He used to make good movies. Like, were those good movies or
no.
did we just think they were
I
good?
Think, what about, yeah.
they were,
like,
but they were also fresh, right? Like, he hasn't stopped making that movie. Like,
yeah,
right? He still makes that movie. And so it's like, so if you want to see something that just will really make you sad.
oh, no.
Like, go to YouTube and type in Jerry Lewis Hardly Working.
Oh.
And it's a Jerry Lewis movie that is like a quintessential Jerry Lewis movie like you remember, except it was made in like 1982.
Oh.
And so it's really sad to watch this guy trying to do this shtick that just doesn't work anymore because
yep.
he's 60.
So yeah. I think the Sandler stuff and the... It's tough because I think Tommy Boy is still hilarious, but I don't know if that's the nostalgia factor or if it actually is funny. Like, I think Farley was very funny.
I think Tommy Boy's funny.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a weird.
Black
yeah.
Sheep.
It,
yeah, right. yeah, but I think the Sandler stuff became not funny when we grew up, me and Kevin, obviously, and they switched to the Apatow stuff. Like,
because it was smarter.
Well,
we
you
got
had,
the
you,
comedy.
You had, so you, I think there's a cool perk. If you look at it, when we were kids, right? It was Farley and Jim Carrey and
sure.
Adam Sandler, and then that moved into the Laugh Pack, which was Stiller and Ferrell and the Luke and Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, and then that moved to Apatow, and that's where we are now. I think Apatow has cornered this market.
Even if it's not Apatow, it's people trying to
do Apatow. I mean, like, you've got Crashing and you've got Silicon Valley and you've got all those shows, and then he's the movies on top of it, where I just think it's that Sandler shtick from 1994. It's not funny anymore,
right?
You know,
it's more
comedy.
It's more goofy than smart. We're like, now you get a little bit smarter comedy. Where I think his was a lot of that physical comedy and that noise. You know, the noises he made. Uh-huh. Like, it was funny because it was
Jim
just him being
the
goofy,
way.
Right?
But yeah, I mean, and Jerry Lewis is the
right.
same.
Right? Sure. I mean, it was
it's,
the same
it's,
time,
it's
yeah.
just it's this really broad clown, and Three Stooges are the same way. If you again, another thing you want to see that you like, if you want to see the Three Stooges.
Oh, don't watch the Joe Beffa stuff.
I'm Joe Besser.
That's
yeah.
Yes.
I'm not a Stooges guy at all. But if you want to gain some respect for the Stooges, if you don't like them, you're not a Stooge guy, right?
I'm a Stooge guy.
Okay, I'm not. I don't. I remember
House in the Palace.
So good.
Dom Herrera.
I used to watch them all.
I think it was Dom Herrera that had a great joke where he was like, you know why women don't like the Three Stooges? Because they're not funny.
Good.
But I gained a new respect for the Three Stooges when I stumbled upon the Ritz Brothers. Mm. And like, for real, like, go to Google, type in the Ritz Brothers. And the Ritz Brothers were huge.
Yeah.
People love them. Mel Brooks, it like cites them as one of his influences. Like, he tried to put the Ritz Brothers in High Anxiety, I believe. Like, he wanted to, would have been their last role, or maybe it was just one of them because that's all that was left. But like, the Ritz Brothers are like a poor man's Stooges.
Huh.
And it is awful.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't.
So Mel Brooks loved them, and you're saying they're a poor man.
Yeah, I wow. don't get, like, I mean, I don't
is it
like
the physical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and they have a guy that makes all the noises like Curly did. It's, and honestly, like, I don't think they're ripping off the Stooges. I think they're both just ripping off vaudevillian character types, right? And
I'm more of a Shemp guy. But,
yeah, I am too. Yeah, if I'm gonna like Shemp like,
is funny. I think
like,
Shemp is
really?
Shemp actually was in a couple early Abbott and Costello movies, and Abbott and Costello had them cut his scenes out
good.
Because he was too good.
Yeah, I think I like Shemp a lot more than I like Curly.
Yeah,
see, when I was younger, I always thought that was the knockoff. I'm like, no, I'm gonna do, you know, I'm going to do Curly because that's
go back and watch the Shem.
Really?
Stuff.
Now
he
I got it.
So
okay.
Funny. Yeah.
Larry's still my favorite though.
Really?
Yeah. Endless supply of hair.
That's true. Just constantly just pulling his hair out. Yeah. That's fair.
I could use that. But yeah, I'll make a controversial statement. Curly is the Sammy Hagar of the Three Stooges. Boom.
That is controversial. Controversial.
Still successful. People still love it. But
he was
the real
Shemp,
thing.
Shemp was
is
first.
Shemp. It goes Shemp, then Curly.
And then Shemp came back.
And then Shemp came back. And then
Joe.
And then they started doing the... Yeah, and that's why they reshot a bunch of them,
yeah,
too. Like
right,
you can
right,
see
right.
a lot where they do some with Shemp and some. But anyway.
Curly is the reason... I mean, yeah. I always preferred Shemp over Curly, and it was because Curly, at that point, it was just like...
It was too much
It was
for
just
me,
like,
but...
he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
He is just an idiot. Like,
you know?
Shemp...
Like, Shemp actually, like, he had...
Some moxie.
He had something to add to the narrative.
Curly's
you know?
Just there to get pounded on by Mo.
Right.
Completely...
Yeah, like
hit in the head with like a wrench Woo-hoo! Or something.
Or I can't even do that noise that he made. I don't even
pound it on. It reminds me of the porn parody.
Oh no,
the Threesome Stooges.
Which was it? Curly Joe? Was he on the Scooby Doo show? Because the Three Stooges showed up.
Yeah,
on Scooby Doo. I'm pretty sure. It was Curly Joe.
I forget if it was
Supernatural. Oh no, they did.
Oh yeah,
I always forget.
Undertaker.
Like,
oh,
if it goes Curly Joe, then Joe Besser, or
I think it's Curly Joe, then Joe Besser. I think Joe Besser.
I think
was
you're
last.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And Joe Besser had worked with Abbott Costello. He was on the Abbott Costello
oh, really?
Show, the their TV show.
That's funny.
But anyway, check out the Ritz Brothers.
I may not.
No, just to see, like, if you don't like the Stooges, especially check out the Ritz Brothers to see what it looks like when it's not done as well. Like, you'll gain a new respect. And I don't care for the Stooges. I find their history fascinating.
Yeah. It's insane.
I agree.
Yeah. I was hoping that movie they were going to make
I know
was going to be that and not just like, oh, we're just doing the Stooges.
Right.
Great. Okay. Yeah. It was
Well,
Sean...
there was a made-for-TV biopic a few years back.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Okay. It was Sean Penn, Jim Carrey, and somebody else were going
to
be the
there
Stooges.
Was rumored to...
Yeah.
And it was just
Wasn't
like...
Wasn't Benicio one of them?
Could have been. And
yeah,
I was just like...
He was
going to
be
Mo
or something? Yeah, it was Benicio.
Sign me up, because that sounds... Absolutely
and
insane.
It wasn't that at all.
And then it was Will Sasso and
no,
the guy
that.
From Will and Grace,
yeah.
I think.
Sean Hayes
and the guy, and another guy.
Former Real Spoilers guest, Bill Cott, was almost Curly in that movie.
In that movie?
Wow.
And
I mean, he
Will
made
Sasso?
It, he made it deep into the audition
That's
process.
Awesome.
Somewhere
That's...
online, there's a YouTube video of him of his audition tape.
I can totally see that, too.
And because he was in a movie the Farrelly Brothers produced called The Ringer, and they were like, I mean, and they basically, from what I understand, they basically told him, they were like, we're going to do a Three Stooges movie,
You're in.
And we like really think you could be our
was
Curly.
Was that a Farrelly Brothers movie?
They the produced three... it. They
oh,
didn't,
okay, all right.
What happened to them?
Well, I don't remember if they
done?
Directed it or not. They produced The Ringer. I don't. They might have directed The Ringer. I'm not 100%.
Oh,
or they might have directed the Three Stooges.
I think that comedy style went away.
Yeah,
and they went
that just kind of went poof.
Yeah, that gross out comedy kind of went away.
Yeah, I just haven't seen those that name or that duo. Yeah.
They don't.
Oh,
they
geez.
Made all their money off. They did. There's something about
something about Mary.
Yeah. And Kingpin.
Yeah,
and Kingpin.
Oh, and what was the Matt Damon, Greg Kinnear?
Stuck on You.
Stuck
on
you.
Me.
And then me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
You. No, not you, Me, and Dupree.
I would say, honestly, I don't know. I'll have to revisit their stuff and see if it like holds up better than a lot of this other stuff that we're talking about. But
I feel like there's something about Mary probably holds up.
I think Kingpin would hold up.
Yeah.
I find myself, you know, liking Shallow Hal more.
Is that them?
Yeah.
Really?
I like Shallow Hal. I enjoy
that.
I
like
Jack
that
Black.
More as time goes on.
Okay.
At the time, I was like,
maybe you'll really enjoy that new...
yeah, weren't we just talking about
we
something?
We were just
talking.
It's the new Amy Schumer flick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I think that looks really good.
It could
good.
Be really funny.
I think it looks very funny.
I think that movie's going to be a juggernaut for her.
She dated a wrestler at one point, and she said he was too athletic. So they called it quits. She dated Dolph Ziggler.
What does that mean?
He was too athletic, Kevin, in bed.
Oh, okay.
And she was just like, nope. No, thank you.
I mean, we talked about this earlier. They don't take breaks during wrestling
they
matches,
don't.
So you have to be
you
able to
go
for 30 minutes.
Go
and not,
you
know.
There's many ways to do a pile driver.
There it is.
Man,
we got Dan
back,
to do one.
And,
oh,
welcome back.
Self Morocco.
Having WrestleMania day to Dan.
Every time
I mean,
you
are flipped around when you do a pile driver.
That's
so
true.
That's
true.
I mean,
you could,
sense.
Yeah.
So
Coming in at number four, Black Panther made $7.8 million in week eight. Joe, what's the domestic up to? Don't look.
624.
Pretty close. 664. Domestic alone. And overseas, 631.
I have to believe.
We're up to $1.3 billion.
I have to believe that Avengers is going to do at least seven.
Billion, yeah, that's
seven
right.
Billion. It's gonna make just domestic.
They're gonna
pass a law that you're legally obligated to go see the movie.
They pass all kinds of crazy laws now. Why not?
Yeah, just a dollar.
They don't
per
pass
person.
Crazy laws. They pass crazy executive orders.
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's true.
There's
good
a difference.
Point. Good point. Yeah, I just think so. Again, we say it every week, but we're 3 weeks out.
It's getting pretty close,
you
and
know
it's
what I mean?
Number four. It has to stick around.
It's going to stick around. But if it sticks around, it's gonna get a bump. It's going to get a bump because
that's what
people
I'm afraid
are gonna,
of is like,
oh, the double
gonna,
feature.
Yeah, for sure. They're like, yeah. Well, we'll go swing by Black Panther and we'll go.
Well, AMC, isn't AMC doing like a marathon anyway?
Oh. So they keep saying that, but like,
oh, no, they are. They've sold tickets. I mean, it's,
are they doing them all though? I thought I read somewhere that they're not doing them all.
I thought they were doing them all. And I was like, no, thank
you. I'm about halfway there.
That sounds like the worst idea ever.
Yeah. I was going to say I'm on Ant-Man.
Can you think of a more horror, like a bigger, just terror than sitting in a theater for over 30 hours straight?
A few friends have kicked the idea around.
Oh, they're crazy.
In a text thread. And like the thought, I was just like,
yes.
Man,
these are all
sounds,
out. These are all out but one. Do your two movie marathon right. After at home over 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
I think,
this,
yeah,
like,
I think Black Panther, because I don't think Black Panther is going to make it out on home video.
It's not.
Before
there's no way.
Not at this point.
No
I was
way.
Thinking, okay, if it takes a bigger dip, but number four in week eight, that's.
And it's not, I mean, I don't think there's anything massive coming out in the next.
Not to
three
knock
weeks,
that down.
Not
I
to
don't
knock
think,
it out of
so.
The top 10.
Yeah, but yeah. there's art. Artwork is out. There's Steelbook artwork. You can pre-order. Black
oh, is
Panther.
There Steelbook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the
week. No, I mean, they do
but
that the week the movie
did
comes
you
out.
See
now.
The.
Seriously, like movies but come out, and Best Buy goes, here's the exclusive. And I'm like, this came out this weekend. Right, they yeah. Literally are preparing these so far ahead to get pre-orders.
Did you
really
see?
Nice.
Did you see the.
It does look nice.
Man yeah. of Steel and Batman vs. Superman Steelbook artwork?
No.
It's Jim Lee. Draw. Mm. And I was just like, God.
Well, you get that when it goes $5 on clearance.
I know, but it looks, I mean, like, and I was like, why couldn't he look like that in the movie? Because that yeah. looks great.
Yeah.
Stupid Jim Lee. Drawing great Superman.
Anyway, so yeah, Black Panther, I mean, that's incredible. $1.3 billion in 8 weeks. Just, yeah, absolutely
boom.
Amazing. Number five, I Can Only Imagine. That's the name of the movie, actually. $7.4 million is only a 29% drop. Still don't remember the name of the band, but they're at $68 million.
Mercy me, and they sold out the Family Arena last
it
night.
It is sold out?
It, I mean, what it already happened.
Yeah,
but
so
it
actually got just sold out.
Yeah, over 7,700 people
yeah,
in the
this
building.
Thing is
and
a,
we could have sold way more.
How? Wow. I mean, do you like you go back over half the arena? Like, how far do you cut it? For the stage.
I mean, that's the full house. You can't get any bigger. Like, that's...
No, but I mean, for concerts, no one looks at their back, do they?
Yeah, we didn't do it in the yeah. round. Yeah.
So, I mean, you cut it.
We were selling limited view seating where you might have a speaker cable in your face or something.
I think the only person I saw do something in the round was Metallica. I don't think I've ever
stadiums,
seen...
Stadiums, I mean, they...
You see a lot of the classic rock stuff. Billy yeah. Joel typically mm-hmm. opens up the back and has an open
oh,
stage so people can sit behind. Pink, I don't know that it was... fully in the round, but it was probably 280 degrees. I mean,
I feel like Taylor Swift like had I think her stage went up, and then she had a stage in like the on the back part of the arena.
A lot
that's
because
her
that.
Head goes around 360, yeah. so that she's able to. Because
her
that.
Head's so big yeah. that you know.
But a lot of artists will do that where they'll have like a mini stage at the back so they can do a couple songs back there to kind of
yeah. She
you know.
They were just like make sure nobody touches her, and I was like she's gonna run through the crowd and you want to make sure nobody touches her. Good yeah. luck.
Like, cool. Try to make sure only girls under 10
yeah,
touch her.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I Can Only Imagine $68 million domestic now total, and we don't have an overseas number for that, but it's a $7 million
yeah,
budget,
they don't
so.
Care. I'm just like, well, how much did we make on it? Done.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So, I mean, that one's sticking around, too. I mean, who knows? Maybe that one will, be, by the next time the sequel comes out, the I Can Only Imagine Avengers, where they assemble with some other bands,
right.
Maybe it will still be in theaters.
There was the Taylor Swift thing.
I know what you imagined last summer.
yeah, exactly.
I still know what you imagined
I still know
summer.
What you
There was there was one guy in particular in this crowd that their security guy was like, we are watching him, and we want you on him.
That's very common.
Like, Okay.
Like thanks, a ghost city to city like, creeper?
No, huh? Well, they don't know. So they had seen him on the security camera like 7 hours before the doors even opened.
Oh, and like checking things
out? He was
out?
Just walking around Scottrade, and they had him on camera the whole Ooh. Time. So they're like, we know where he's sitting. Like, we tagged him when he came in the door. We know where he's going to be. We want you in front of him. Just because, like, the way that stage is set up, right? Like, it's at Scottrade, her stage, the secondary stage, if you were to jump off the boards, like, where this guy was, I mean, you're on the stage.
Yeah.
So, like, they planted me, and I was just like, you don't think the 26-year-old guy sitting by himself isn't going to draw any flies? Like, this is, I look even weirder than this guy.
They planted you in the audience?
I'm in the audience. Oh. I'm in the audience on the opposite side of the aisle, like, five rows up. So I'm up
so
against
the...
So
you got to sit there and watch a Taylor
Literally,
Swift concert.
It was, yeah, it was wonderful. And wow. it wasn't like poppy Taylor Swift.
It was when she was still country.
She was still country, but, like, starting to go into the pop world.
Wow. There were teardrops on her guitar.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did her dog run away during the performance?
Who knows? She got broke up with and wrote a new song.
Oh, right I'm then sure, yeah. This is a new one I just wrote for... while I took a drink of water backstage, we broke up.
I spilled my water, so I wrote a new song
She's
about
a
it.
Machine.
She is a machine. So he gets up. Like, she's standing there playing guitar, facing the crowd, and I'm kind of looking at him, and I see him get up and walk into the aisle and take two steps forward, and I was like, I'm going to die. Cause like I'm gonna have to get in front of this guy, and I'm gonna go ass over tea kettle over this railing, and like I stood up and I walked in front of him, and he looked at me, and he just stood there and like just dead face, like didn't no expression, and I was like please, and he has a backpack on, and I'm just like why did anybody let him in here?
Yeah,
with
wow,
a backpack?
Why did he have a backpack?
I don't. It was just, and it was like it was
I've got
like
my murder bag,
right? And I was like this is it. This is how I'm going to die at a Taylor Swift concert.
And you know, the worst part, too, is that it, like I was driving the band Warrant once in my mom's minivan. My life's pretty glamorous. I don't like the name drop, but and it was just a torrential downpour, and all I could think was that like if I go off in a ditch, it's going to be Warrant others dying car crash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to be other. Like, you would be other.
I would be other.
You would
dude,
be other.
The dude sat down, and like at the end of the show.
She probably would have wrote a song about you.
Probably would have, yeah. There's a security guy.
Give the royalties to Leanne and your children.
I don't think I was even dating her then. Okay. But like he sat down, and he was like crying. And I was just like, I called on the radio. I was like, get this out of here now. Like, this is going to get bad. And there's like, we can't do anything. We can't move him. And I was like, fine. I've done my, it's on the radio. It's recorded. I don't care. Like, I've done my part. Yeah. Taylor Swift owes me her life.
A lot of these major artists, they have, and thanks to the way the ticketing system works, you almost always know exactly where they're sitting.
Yeah,
so that's helpful.
Yeah. They did the same thing with Katy Perry.
Yeah. We had one at Stevie Nicks. We had one in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well,
weird times at Scottrade.
Yeah, that was an interesting story. So, number 7, Chappaquiddick, that's starring Ed Helms, I believe. It opened this weekend, and it is $6 million on a non-disclosed budget.
So I saw it.
You did see it?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
I really wanted to see it, so I was like, I had time to see it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It's a good story. I think if the actors had been different people, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
But I think everybody kind of elevated the material. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
is Ed Helms Ted? Or who?
No, Jason, whatever his
Jason
name
Clark
is
Ted. Okay.
Yeah. I think Ed Helms is like his...
I haven't watched any trailers.
His, like, kind of manager
or
handler.
Yeah.
Or
okay. Yeah. And Bruce Dern is the old man.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean... It's a crazy story.
Did you know the story before you saw it?
I knew that there somebody had died, but I didn't know like the obviously that they said that he killed her, and the movie kind of leaves it. Did he? Didn't he? Like, could he have saved her? Couldn't he? But it was just like Teddy's trying to like get out in front of it and just botching it terribly because they thought he was gonna be president. They thought,
he was
next in line.
Yeah,
because Bobby was already dead.
But it
right?
also shows you like they thought he was gonna be president, but that didn't happen. So he was
only a senator,
only a senator
for his entire forever. Life,
the rest of his life. Right. Like, fail. And when you wonder why, you know, there is this Republican branch that is like the media bends over backwards.
Oh, sure.
It starts with stuff like that. Yep. Like, how is that guy?
How
did his political career ever come back from that?
It's unbelievable.
And no one could tweet about it.
But yeah, the media took a dive because he was a Kennedy. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
There's no other way to explain it.
Right now with the keyboard crusaders, that would never happen.
Oh,
I mean,
heck
people
no.
expose yeah. everything. There's yeah. no hiding a story yeah. like that.
That's it. Just fine. This whole family is just insanely interesting. You could do a TV show starting with Joe, the old man, and just working your way up because it's insane.
Call it Camelot.
You could call it Camelot.
I think that show's on CNN right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, the history of the Kennedys. Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. Well, I know.
Well, he's a Fox News guy. Yeah, he know what's going on CNN. Yeah.
But it's like insane. It's just it's such a crazy story.
Did you see
it,
Tom?
It is.
I did not.
It's okay. dry. It's yeah. very dry. But
well, except for his girlfriend.
Oh, Mike. Too soon?
Yeah. Yeah. No? All right.
How does that not get a maraca?
It just depends on how you take it.
Pretty bad. Yeah.
So, sideways maraca.
I meant her. I meant her rotting corpse.
Right.
Just to be clear. Yeah.
I don't think it's probably wet.
If it were a bedroom joke, then it would be different. But
there it is.
A death joke gets a pass. It's just the dirty, real dirty stuff. So anyway, okay, well, that'll be interesting. So maybe I've been interested in, it's good to know that it's well done.
It is
so.
Well done. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Number 8, Sherlock Gnomes. I believe Brad Hyams' favorite movie?
That's from what I understood.
Did you say
from
the decade or the year?
I believe the century.
The century?
Yeah, he said he's actually going to name his firstborn child Sherlock Gnomes Hyams. Boy or girl.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Well, it's Sherlock Gnomes Hyman if it's a girl.
now what? I almost said it and I was like, you know what? No.
But that's a medical term. Come on. I can't.
Medical term.
Sherlock.
Yeah.
So Sherlock Gnomes made five
medical term.
made $5 million, a 29% drop. It is up to 33 million big ones. That's
kids movie.
Yeah. 8 overseas, so call it about 40 on a $59 million budget.
You're probably. 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
do
told
it.
Me to call it
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah,
I know.
So, that'll learn your Sherlock Gnomes.
Finally someone's listening around here.
What's the next kids movie? Incredibles?
That new Halloween movie coming out?
the Blumhouse Halloween flick.
I don't know. It depends on what you let your kids watch.
I think. Well, that's true. When is the next animated movie?
Incredibles.
Okay,
would be the big one.
Or is it Hotel Transylvania?
Okay,
that's Incredibles. Gotta be a Halloween be the big movie, right?
I don't think it is.
Why would they not do that in October?
Because they, I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be
probably a summer movie. They might do an early to get the summer kids are out. Let's all go.
Because
see
I think they're on they go on a cruise. I think that's the
Hotel Transylvania, not in Transylvania, or in a hotel.
Yeah,
but so, okay.
You can check out anytime you want, and you can leave,
or you can't when you're on a cruise. You're just like, well, I'm stuck here now.
But they checked out a Hotel Transylvania.
Right. That's true. Yes.
So 40 on a $59 million budget for Gnome. So Brad's gonna have to get his movie pass swiping to get the box office up for that one. It's not gonna cost him anything. Why not? Number 9, Pacific Rim Uprising, $4.2 million, a 55% drop. So it is at $54 million domestic. Had it been a good movie, maybe it would have made more money. But about 200 overseas.
You know, you said something that made me think with the movie pass.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if a movie company that knows they have a loyal fan base would start a thing like, hey, how many times can you go see it with your movie pass?
Oh. Yeah.
And we'll give you a signed poster or we'll interview.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's all going to happen.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Haven't they already put limits on it though?
Like you wouldn't even have to stay and watch it. Like you could
just swipe it.
Swipe it, and then
it's
turn
an interesting
on a
system. I mean, here's the thing. So while it's $10 a month, yes, you're going to get crazy stuff like that. The thing is going to back up to 40 or 50 eventually. It's just a matter of when. They cannot sustain. They are losing millions each month, tens of millions.
And they want people to see that. Oh, I would use this enough to justify. But I just meant like if you have something with like this diehard rabid fan base.
Yeah.
Like what? Like do you have something in mind?
I'm trying to think. Like in the same way you have these people that want to destroy a movie like Ghostbusters reboot or whatever.
Did you see the High Fidelity reboot with a female lead? Yeah.
But
it's from Disney. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel about it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But if they have a movie that they like, you could you know, kind of weaponize them in a way of saying like, oh, the people are keeping this movie down. Okay, let's make it political. Let's say you're one of these guys that makes one of these who's the guy that makes those Annie Obama movies, like
Michael Moore.
That'd
be the other way.
But it's like Dionysa or whatever. Right. And like what if you said, hey, if you got a movie pass, then the media's keeping this movie away. Just go to the theater every day with your movie pass.
Oh.
Don't even stay and watch it if you've already seen it. Just go if you could get 1,000 people to go every day of the week.
It's funny you should bring that up.
I think it's all gonna happen.
I just watched it just in the propaganda kind of thing. I just watched that Gawker documentary about Hulk Hogan. Have you seen this?
I have not.
It's fat. Like the Hulk Hogan,
the lawyer had that grudge against the owner of Gawker. Destroyed them.
Hulk Hogan is a footnote in this documentary.
It's amazing.
It's nuts.
It's an amazing story.
Where's
that?
On Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix. But like they talk about how Hulk Hogan goes on Stern, and he was like, "Oh yeah, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch."
Right.
Wiener and blah, blah, blah. And then Hogan's on the stand. He's like, you don't get it. Like, that's not Terry Bollea talking about. Terry Bollea does not have a 10-inch wiener. Hulk Hogan does. And the lawyers are just like, what? What are you talking about? And as a wrestling fan, like, I get it. Like,
yeah,
he's a character he plays.
He's
keeping kayfabe. And kayfabe is like, you're keeping the wrestling story alive.
Right.
And not, you know, the heels don't hang out with the baby faces and you just keep everything real. But, like, Alex Jones, who's that whack job on InfoWars, is trying to pull the same thing, and Rush Limbaugh's the same boat, where they're just like, no. Like, Alex Jones, the man, doesn't believe any of that stuff. That's just the things that he says on his TV show. And it's just like, all right.
No.
Like, the Hulk Hogan thing, I can get behind, because I get that wrestling is a show, and he's trying, like, he makes money from Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea doesn't make the money. Hulk Hogan makes the money. Alex Jones is his own, Rush Limbaugh, their own wackadoo people. That it's just that they're trying to do the same thing with, like, the propaganda.
Trying
it's
to
like,
pull
oh,
it
no,
as,
no.
A, as a character.
Exactly. It's all satire.
See,
No, I'm, exactly.
It's like, no.
The Hogan thing not. I get.
Colbert, that was.
And there Larry are people the Cable
who
Guy, Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. Who
those
absolutely
aren't those guys.
Believe that those. Well, yeah, Larry the Cable Guy is fascinating because it's like. Well, he
doesn't even sound like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
people
for
who
sure.
The first time I saw him out of character, it blew my mind because I was like, whoa. You mean.
Yeah, I mean, he was working clubs. He was just a road comic for years, getting no traction. And that was like 10 minutes of his act.
It was a character.
Yeah.
And
it just blew up.
The blue collar comedy tour was game on. But all those, Andrew Dice Clay, like you even said, that people were just like, and he was just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I mean,
Andrew Dice Clay's on an episode of MASH.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
It's the fandom that,
buys into the.
So it's interesting. Since we're talking about box office and MoviePass, so some of the movies that benefited from MoviePass in 2017, Black Panther sold over 1 million tickets. Million times $10 on average, $10 million just from MoviePass on Black Panther. So that, you know, not that Black Panther didn't make 600 domestically without it, but $10 million is still, you want that $10 million, right? Jumanji, you know, that stuck around 750,000 tickets with MoviePass. Greatest Showman, which had a huge box office, 500,000 tickets with MoviePass.
Well, it didn't initially.
Well,
and then it did.
Well, they don't care.
But that movie lived on word of mouth, so I wouldn't be surprised that a lot of that 500,000 saw it in the first couple of weeks and then told people
who
didn't have MoviePass.
I mean, it just kept going. I mean,
you're right.
That movie is not even out on DVD yet. Tuesday it comes out. Like, they're putting on DVD.
Yeah.
And
it came out at Christmas.
Still,
is that right?
It came out Christmas
around.
Day.
I was going to say, because Jumanji's already out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah, and then movies like Game Night, 500,000.
Yeah.
So that actually did a huge benefit. Like, you were thinking, like, it would have been great if it did a little bit better, but MoviePass could have saved Game Night.
Right.
Like, that's another $5, $10 million that it made for it. And then number five, Star Wars, which obviously was the biggest movie of last year, 500,000 tickets.
You know, it's the MoviePass version of Groupon, and I do concert stuff like that all the time, and I can't tell you how many concerts where it's, like, a good Groupon promotion is the difference between... is the difference between losing money and making money.
Yep,
like
I agree.
And you sell a bunch of tickets at full price, but then you sell, you know, another 10 or 15%
that you wouldn't have sold,
that you wouldn't
to
have sold
with.
Otherwise.
And they buy concessions,
and they, buy concessions and they pay to park, and, and you know, and then you make your money that way. So, I mean, I get
it's,
it.
Yeah, the thing is, like, with the people, the only reason I can see AMC and up until recently Landmark not wanting to use MoviePass is if they're doing their own thing, and then I can't sell mine for 50 if yours is 10.
I would say, and here's where MoviePass is going to run into problems. Eventually, the theaters are going to come up with their own version.
Yeah. Yes.
But Landmark was, I believe, and it was going to be like 30 a month, but they couldn't compete. So now, thankfully, in St. Louis, Landmark shows all our art house movies. Yeah. You can use MoviePass, which is great. Oh. So we can see all the stuff that's only limited release that maybe will never go wide release.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, for us, the MoviePass holders.
Can I buy tickets to Dawn of the Dead at Late Night Grindhouse with MoviePass?
I don't think so. Yeah. So.
What does St. Louis, like the theaters that I enjoy, the St. Louis cinemas, do they use MoviePass?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, MX and the MX,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, MX, the Galleria, the Chase, and the Moulin.
Yeah, they do, because they have a thing on the screen about it, too.
Oh, they do?
Okay. It was just Landmark that was holding out in our area.
That was really the only reason I haven't done MoviePass, is because I prefer to go to those theaters.
Yeah, well, they're doing it. Oh, absolutely. It's great, yeah.
Yeah, they just need to get on the reserve seating.
Yeah,
it is great. It is great.
Like, I won't, I really, unless it's a movie, you know, what. Yeah. We have really to. Early in the morning, or yeah, but otherwise I'm like,
or a movie, you know, no one's going to see.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I saw Ready Player One because Ryan and Katie hadn't seen it, so I went to see it for a second time Friday night, 7 p.m. Right?
Did you
reserve seats that morning because I went to go see A Quiet Place?
Yeah.
So I bought it when the theater was empty. Get there, it's pretty much packed, and we've got dead center great seats.
That's great.
It's like the reserve seating thing is.
Yeah.
Here's where the reserve seating thing becomes a problem. This happened to me when I went to see Blockers on Thursday night. Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Did you get
blocked?
Blocked or?
Worse.
Oh. Okay.
So I bought a ticket because it was going to be me. So It 6 o'clock, starts at 7. I go online and buy my ticket just in case. And not one ticket has been sold for the theater.
Perfect.
So, I'm like, great. So I buy one dead center, last row. That's where I like to sit. And we get there, and I'm like, and Crystal's like, I think I'm going to go. So I'm like, okay, well, there were no seats sold. In the worst case scenario, I'll just have them refund the ticket and give me seats somewhere else. You know?
Right.
So I get there. We go to select our seat on the little screen. Two other people had purchased tickets. Another couple had purchased tickets.
No.
Right next to me.
That's such a
dick
move. The theater was empty?
The theater was completely empty.
Okay, that's insane.
And that sucks.
I was like, what? What sort of sociopath?
Yeah,
that's serial killer level.
That's
insane.
Like
that.
They had
like
a copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're just gonna read this.
I hope I don't see this guy at the urinal because I know which one he's gonna use.
Oh,
like what is wrong
is
with somebody?
I've never heard of one seat being sold and then two more next.
Oh,
to
that's
it.
Terrible.
Absolutely crazy.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
Like,
when they came in, they sat down, and then they did scoot
they
over.
They scoot one over.
And I'm just like, you know, and I was like, should I be insulted or
like,
grateful?
Like, did you get the, what's the 411 on these
I
people?
Do. I would kind of know what they look like.
Well, you're in what kind of, they were Indian, for whatever that's worth.
Oh,
I don't know what that means, but they were.
I don't either.
All right.
I was just wondering. Like,
I don't even know.
It's so weird.
How to say, like, but they were well-dressed. They were younger. I'd say they were early to mid-20s.
Okay.
I don't get it.
So it's not like old people that don't know how to
use
the internet.
That's what I was thinking.
Like,
I was like, oh, those seats,
you know?
Those must be the only two seats that are left. I'll just boop.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is very weird. So anyway, Pacific Rim Uprising, $4.2 million, a 55% drop, $54 million domestic, $200 overseas. So $250 on a $150 budget. So it's about making its money back here. And coming in at number 10, rounding
it.
No.
Pacific Rim was number 10.
Oh.
We have a number 9 down in Limited.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Thank you. So I will correct myself here, and I'm very happy to see this because a little movie, Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson, $4.4 million is a 51% increase. So it looks like it is bumping up a little bit. It's at 554 locations. I mean, it did something amazing. It was at like,
it's like 50 million,
last
right?
week.
Or 80?
No, last week it was like at 100 theaters or
something
and made 4 or 5 or
right.
3 million.
3 million, I think.
Amazing. Yeah. So, 51% increase is $4.4 million. It is up to almost $12 million domestic, 3 or 4 overseas. So we're looking at about 15 on an undisclosed budget. I loved this movie. Dan, you're a Wes Anderson fan.
What?
Love it.
I even kind of liked it.
I want to see it. I think it is
absolutely delightful. Yeah. I mean, if you are a Wes Anderson fan, you'll love it. If you are not a Wes Anderson fan, it's still a really solid movie.
He works better with animation for me. The cutesiness kind of is okay.
I think you're able to appreciate the dialogue and I think you can appreciate the dialogue better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because it's like Fabulous Mr. Fox is a great example. It's like
so good.
It's no different than any of his other movies. It just happens to be animated.
Right.
And so it works better for me that way.
But yeah.
But his stuff is kind of a human cartoon.
True.
I don't disagree.
He doesn't have characters.
It just gets real old for me.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan and I loved it. And I've talked to other people that aren't as big of fans, and not including Tom, but you know, and everyone that has been delighted by it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I left the theater and was like, I could watch this again. I mean, there's so much to take in visually. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is even a step above Mr. Fox, which
so
I loved.
Were they Muppet Baby toys? Or
yeah, that's the next one. No, it's like it's Olive Garden toys.
Oh!
That's what they give the kids to play with while you're eating your fancy Garden pasta toys. Fajoule.
This is breadsticky.
I don't think Pasta House has pasta fajoule.
Oh, I know, but I said Olive Garden.
I don't think they have it either.
And pasta fungal.
First of all,
here's your pasta, eat it.
I had Olive Garden very close to my old workplace for 7 years, and I ordered pasta fazool almost every time I went there.
They were just like, oh, God, he's back. We have to special order this crap every time this guy comes in here.
No, I'm pretty sure it comes out of a can with the Olive Garden logo next to it. But anyway, so yeah, Isle of Dogs doing quite well. I'm glad to see that. I'm hoping it goes wide release soon.
Oh, it will.
They're bumping it up.
That's clearly what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think, I want to say Grand Budapest Hotel was his most commercially successful.
I believe that made a ton of money. It did.
It'll be interesting to see once this goes wide what this will end up doing. But I've already said Pacific Rim, so that was kind of a miss over here, but did big money overseas. And I will say that the religious movies are still hanging on. I mean, you've got number 10, The Miracle Season.
Two or three days, yeah.
But, give or take. But still, I mean, you've got The Miracle Season, 3.7. You've got Paul, Apostle of Christ, 1.7. God's Not Dead, 3.
Oh, so there's
1
three
million.
Of them. So that makes sense.
That
makes
one for each day.
Yes.
Well, no, there was three.
3 days that he,
there
anyway.
Was it was Jesus.
I have to pee, so in the box office.
Jesus and the Two Thieves.
So that is the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find him.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show at Facebook.com/Real Spoiler. So that's it for this one. Next time, A Quiet Place, Not a Very Quiet Place.
No,
until then.
Or the quiet ones.
You've been warned.
Hold me in your arms tonight.
Why?
Because I can be your hero, baby.
I feel it.
I can kiss away the pain.
Did not sound good.
I will stand by you forever. You can take.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.